Turn with me to John chapter 4. We'll read something there in just a few minutes. I just want to thank you for your prayers. This last month was a vapor. I left here and I got to Spain just in time to make it into the prison. Helped with the prison Bible study, and the next day I was making courses, and the next day I was flying out of Spain to go to Germany. I made it just after the volcano erupted, so I was able to get into Germany. I was able to go to the conference, which I'll explain in just a little bit. And then we traveled probably 16 hours to go from Germany to Hungary to the second conference. And it was great to be there with those believers. And the volcano had settled down so we could fly out of Hungary back to Spain. And so then we went down to Seville, which is like a five-hour drive, back up to where we live, and then up north, a seven-hour drive to visit different ones. And it was a trip worth it, you better believe it. And I'd like to share just a few things of what was going on. The first conference was a world conference. It was with regional coordinators from different parts of the world. There's people from China, from India, from Africa, from the Pacific Islands, from Russia, from the Middle East, from Europe, South America, and North America. And there was people missing from Australia and New Zealand. And a couple of people that were going to come from India didn't make it either. So some people did make it. But, you know, it was interesting. There's a brother, and I'll mention his name, Brian, and his wife Joy Ford, who are commended missionaries, I think, from Wichita. And they gave us their vision for China. And 2 years ago, they were not involved at all in the MAIS work. They had come back on furlough, and they were saying, "Lord, what's the next step for us?" You know, they've been in Hong Kong for about 10 years, saying, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And as they were going around to different assemblies talking about what they were doing in Hong Kong, several people along the way said, "Well, why don't you work with the MAIS courses?" So, you know, after two or three people, you know, gave him the nod, he started inquiring about Emmaus courses. Well, that was about 2 years ago. Well, this year he just showed us six new courses hot off the press. They did a couple of thousand of each course. And let's say he did 3,000 of each one. It's 18,000 courses. That's a drop in the bucket. That's not even dust when you compare China. There's 100 million believers in China. 100 million believers. This brother wants to see that work grow. And they've got these six courses. They've got another six courses that are being translated that should be done by the end of the year. You start printing courses in China, how many courses do you think you're going to need? Tens and hundreds of thousands of courses. He never said anything about money. But you just start clicking as an engineer, I just start clicking the wheel. Man, where's that money going to come from? Well, our God in heaven can provide, can't he? Absolutely. Then there was, you know, the folks from India, another nation, 1.2 billion people. Till just the last couple of years, they've been getting money from the States to help them in their production. And they said, no way. This one brother who's the international director was there a couple years ago, and he said, by 2011, they want to be standing on their own two feet, all the income coming from Indians for the work. And, you know, there's like 700 provinces in India. There's 24 major languages. There's more, but, you know, those are the ones we're going to be translating courses in. It's mind-boggling when you think about that. There was two brothers there. One was the national coordinator, and the other one was just one that helped in one province. And I thought our statistics were pretty good in Spain. They had 98% completion rate. I said, how do you do it, brother? He said, the evangelists go out with the courses, and when they give a course out, they expect it to be done, and they come back and get it. They handed out 2,712 courses, and they were returned 2,700 courses. That blows me away. I said, wow, I said, how do you do it? And it's the evangelists. They're going. And that one province, and I think there was only 50 evangelists who were going out evangelizing on bicycles, walking, everywhere. It's wonderful. But you know, you've got it. I don't know if you've seen the bulletin board. A younger brother got killed recently in India evangelizing. And so talking to these brothers and just getting a vision for China, for India. Then we got to see the reports from Africa. It's incredible. I mean, the brethren, the assemblies in Germany have been working on Emmaus stuff in Africa. They're doing hundreds of thousands of courses in Africa. It's incredible. In French-speaking Africa, in English-speaking Africa, they're now branching out into Portuguese-speaking Africa. And before you know it, they'll start going into Spanish-speaking Africa. I just don't have enough time to go down there and set up a trip because we've got a couple students that have finished all the courses in Africa in Spanish. You start thinking, wow, look at the world in which we live in. I don't know about you, but it was to me, being at this conference was incredible. And then we got a couple guys that were working on the internet, web pages. Now that was, I was like drooling, you know, just like, and explaining how young people think. And one of these guys is a young professional, was a druggie before, saves, wanting to reach the people for Christ using this means of internet. It was a wonderful seminar. Wonderful seminar. It opened my eyes, boom, of what the potential is there. And you know, as we sat there and listened to reports of different continents, what was going on, it was interesting to hear the reports of Russia. You know, Russia 20 years ago was booming. One brother there, he got to see Russia doing 180,000 courses a year. You know how many they did last year? 32,000. You know what happens? People get accustomed to the world, don't they? But you know what? It's interesting. Before, their completion rate was about 60%. It's now in the 89-90%. So people who are doing the courses are doing them because they want to do them. Interesting. And to hear stories of this brother going into Mongolia to the desert, and his car having a little problem, and there's a shepherd, and the shepherd comes up to him and he says, well, how can I help? He says, oh, I know you. Can you imagine in the desert in Mongolia? How does this guy know? He says, you came and spoke to our prison, and I've gotten to come to know Christ through those Emmaus courses. Does that blow you away? Tears were rolling down my face. God is incredible. How he gives you the satisfaction of seeing, as you throw the seed out, the seed will germinate. God has said that his word will not return void. Then we traveled down to Hungary. That was a trip and a half, 16 hours, you know, having to stop every 2 hours. Before I didn't have to stop, you know, I didn't drive, but I didn't say, hey, got to go to the bathroom. Bathroom breaks. Okay. And along the way, just getting to know different people. And, you know, when we got to Hungary, I hadn't met the brethren from Slovenia, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Hungary. And it was interesting, very humble brethren. You know, there's the folks from Slovakia, they were a scream. They've been working on the Emmaus courses for 17 years. Their average age is 70 years old now. And they've got heart to keep going ahead. And this one sister, she was the younger one in the crowd. She was 65 years old. And she gave me the history of how all the work in the Eastern Bloc country opened up by one brother by the name of Bill Grumbel, an expat from England who was in the war, and then he came back and he helped. Interesting. Fascinating. Fascinating. And the guy from Slovenia, I said, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a gasoline attendant. I said, so how do you know all this stuff about computers? He says, because I want to learn. Because I want to get the word of God out there for people. In the Czech Republic, man, they had like 6 people there. They were from old to young. And I don't know about there. They marry young girls there, boy. guy, 32 years old, married to a 19-year-old. I said, wow, you guys really, you know, you're looking for your insurance policy when you get older. And it was kind of across the board. But they're doing a wonderful work in what they're doing there. And then, you know, to see those of us who I knew from Germany and France and England. Did you know that the Emmaus work in England almost closed its doors last year? I didn't know. They've been going for 58 years. Next year will be 60. But last year, the new director that they had was insolvent for a month. And here he was. He was 3 or 4 days away from signing the papers of bankruptcy and closing the doors for the Emmaus work in England. And that day he was just sobbing before the Lord. Lord, it's going to go in the history books that I shut the place down, but this is what I inherited. Lord, how can we get out of this mess? And the postman arrives. Here's 4,000 pounds to get you out of the hole. And a year later, they have no debt. Isn't that something? What looks so bleak one year, the next year, the Lord is prospering and blessing. And we were able to share vision. You know, I told him, I says, we're using 8 languages in Spain. You know, I don't use Pakistani. I don't use Hindu. But I tell you what, in England, I'm sure they could use Pakistani and Hindu and Afghan and all these. And so now he's got a vision because of what we do in the Spain, they can do in England, but with all the, you know, Asian languages. So we shared those ideas. And it was interesting to see the brethren from Spain. We had 4 delegates come from Spain, plus myself. There was 5 of us. And I tell you what, they caught some vision. It was well worth it to get the people from Spain there. You know Manuel and Tracy from Seville? Well, they've gotten the ball rolling, and in the last month they've got 30 new students. There's another couple up in the north where we just opened up an office, and they've got, in the last week, they've got 5 new students. And this one brother, he works 1 week and he doesn't work the next week because the situation in Spain is so bad. There's 20% unemployment. So they have these contracts in the businesses where you go to work 1 week and you take the next week off and you work the next week, and they shift everybody so everybody gets paid a little bit and not everybody has to be out of work. So this week he's been working hard on a web page for Emmaus Spain, been working on getting courses out to different ones. And there's this vision for what's there to do. Vision. And I just like to share 2 things about what students are saying. Some of you have been praying for Juan Carlos and Karina and their baby Israel in Peru. Well, he's back at his home base working in the prison. The baby went through the operation. It went well. His feet are straightened out. They did the hip surgery, and that looks like that's going to be good. It doesn't look like he'll have to be in the cast for 9 months, maybe for 6 months. But he's got this little rash that's kind of hard for him, but the baby's doing well. And Juan Carlos is encouraged. And one day he was speaking about salvation, about security of salvation. And he has women in the Bible study as well. And this one lady who's been a pastor, she called herself a pastor in the prison work. You know what she says to him? I'm not saved. I'm not saved. What you've been explaining these last weeks, I've understood that I am not saved. And the gal next to her says, if you're not saved, I'm not saved either. And that lady said, I want to be saved. And the co-worker of Juan Carlos says to him, well, you're Christians. Leave them alone. He says, no, this is what we've been dealing with. This is the problem. You got these people who think they're saved and have no power in their lives to lead a Christian life. Let the Lord God do His work of conviction in this sister, in this woman, so that she becomes a sister in the Lord. And it's been neat. I get to this Bible study in Spain, and this one fella from the Caribbean, he's black as coal, man. He is just, and he's got these super white teeth, you know? It just shines. And he comes up to me with this huge smile and says, what's going on? He said, I'm saved. I said, but you've been saved for a long time. He said, no. You know what happened? He says, I was one of those hallelujah guys. And I would go hallelujah, sing all lifted hands and all that business. And I'd go out of the building and I'd go out and fornicate. I mean, I didn't draw this out of this guy. This guy's telling me, he says, but now, after all these months and all these courses that I've studied, I've understood I haven't been saved. And now that I've accepted Christ into my life, I have power to lead a Christian life. I have a desire to know God's Word. I spend more hours now than ever before knowing God and His Word. Wow. Incredible. That made my day. I tell you, I was super tired that day because, you know, I've been traveling all day and I get to the prison and first guy I meet, I want to tell you this. Wow. Super. Let's look at a few verses in John because I think they go right along. John chapter 4 and verse 35. We'll start in 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, I've been struck again as I've been with other believers, like-minded believers, who desire to worship the Lord, to evangelize, to disciple, to teach, and to see that if you talk about China, if you talk about India, if you talk about Europe or South America, the fields are white. The fields are white. But you know what happens? I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of my day looking down. Don't you? If you walk, I'm walking to make sure I don't step in the wrong spot. And, you know, I'm looking down. And Jesus, you know, He gives two commands. He says, lift up your eyes. Lift them up. Look. Get a vision. Don't just look right here. That's what sheep do, isn't it? Sheep look just here. He said, get those eyes up and look at the horizon. Look at that horizon. Look further than what you can see. And as far as you can see, now what does He say? Look on those fields. And as you look on those fields and you look and you look, and they're white. You know what white means? That means you can put the sickle to it anytime. That means, come rain, doesn't matter. That is so dry, anytime you want to go pick it, it's ready to be picked. But you know what? I've read this verse over and over and over. But I can tell you, brother, I have been an unbeliever. I've been an unbeliever. God gives us so many tools and He gives us an outlook to see what's going on. Brother, I look at what the Lord's doing here. You know? Not too long ago, we saw Roberto and Elizabeth get saved. Now they're witnessing. And now Elise is coming along. You need to pray for the Celso, because I almost bombed them out on Saturday. They came over to the house and I gave them the fifth degree. I think I may have gone too far and almost didn't want to come on Sunday, but they were here on Sunday. But you know what? He's clear now. He's not saved. We don't want to push somebody into heaven that's not under the conviction of the Spirit of God. And so somebody had to do a little bit of that dirty work. But you know what? He's a little bit hurt there, but at least he confessed that he has not yet trusted the Lord. And that's a good thing. But you know, when that fellow gets saved, now you got two couples. And when you get those two couples, maybe two more will come. And maybe this side will be English and that side will be Spanish. And we'll have to do simultaneous translating. I don't know. Who knows? Brethren, I'm telling you, are the fields white? The only way you know they're white is, well, how? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And guess what? I can tell you, so often we look so negatively at what's going on. And I was just at a conference, and it warmed my heart to see what God is doing in our day. And I could say what He's doing in Spain. I told you when I showed you the slides not too long ago, we doubled as far as how many people were studying the courses from 2009 to 2008. And this year I was thinking, well, Lord, as long as we can maintain a little bit like last year. And I'm thinking, what? Now all of a sudden Manuel's going. Now they got these 30 new students and they got 5 new students up there and we got new students coming in Salamanca. And I'm thinking, maybe we'll double this year too. Well then, Lord, we need some more helpers. And that's another verse, isn't it? Pray ye, what? The Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Isn't that important? There's the harvest. Where's the laborers? Where's the workers? And I understand not everybody can go. But brethren, I'll tell you what. As you pray, guess what happens? God lifts up people. And people come. And we're here for a prayer meeting. And I tell you, I hope that we can pray with our eyes open and say, Lord, send funds. Send workers to China. Send those funds to India. Help those Indian brothers to get together. South America. Oh, the Lord's expanding the work there. But you know what? It's wonderful to be part of God's business, isn't it? Isn't that what it says in verse 34? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will, the business of Him that sent me, and to finish His work, to finish His business. You know, we're all in God's business, aren't we? Are we investing in that business? Time, energy, prayer, funds, whatever it takes that the gospel would go out. And I tell you, I bring this to encourage you because the God is doing wonderful things. Wonderful things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You are still the God who is there, the God who's enthroned, the God who is working miraculously, the God who is saving people, who is translating them from darkness into the marvelous light of Thy dear Son. Father, we thank You that You call us to lift up our eyes, to look on those fields. Father, forgive us for how often we are so downcast, so down on what's going on. And yet, Lord, You are doing great and wonderful and marvelous things even in our day and age. Father, continue to give us vision for the work here and abroad that we might see souls saved, that there would be a newness of vision, Lord, to see Your work expand. Father, help us as we pray that truly our prayers would enter into that throne room tonight, that the God of heaven would give us His ear. And Lord, as we intercede, as we pray to the God of heaven, that You would hear and that many great and wonderful things would be done for the glory and the honor of Thy dear Son. For we ask in His precious name. Amen.